You're listening to the Coastline Candidate Interviews. I'm Rachel Lewis Hilburn. Our focus right now is on Oak Island, a beach town of about 7,700 people year-round in Brunswick County. That number can swell to up to 50,000 during the summer season. The town is governed by a council of five and a mayor. Joining me now is John Bach, a former superintendent at Moorestown Township Public Schools in New Jersey. He says he's volunteered on Oak Island's Comprehensive Planning Committee, Beach and Inlet Committee, Par 3 Golf Committee, and is a member of the Communities in Schools Board. John Bach, welcome to Coastline.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
And you can ask your own question of John Bach by emailing us at coastline@whqr.org or calling us during the live Wednesday edition at 910-343-1138. John Bach, I'm going to start with a question from Martin, who says, permanent residents are 7,000 and seasonal is 50,000. When will Oak Island charge for parking for beach nourishment?
Well, that's a great question. And I think that ultimately, beach parking needs to be part of a comprehensive solution to provide for beach nourishment. Thrice, town council has considered this and thrice rejected it. I would argue that as we look at beach renourishment, we need to have several streams of revenue. Parking is clearly going to be one. Parking is a complicated issue because of the right-of-way, because of property rights for residents. And I would support another comprehensive plan which indeed satisfies the needs of residents for ordinance enforcement, but provides for a revenue stream. I do think that a parking plan would certainly have to provide for parking for residents for free, those paying the accommodation tax for free, but all other users of the beach, I think, should be charged. Council has rejected previous plans, arguing they have not been lucrative enough. It seems to me that we need to explore that. To reject a plan that generates $100,000, which is $1 million over a decade, seems to me to be something that should be reconsidered. So I think it is part of the ultimate solution to beach renourishment, but not the most pressing issue at this point.
One could argue that the government on Oak Island is having some impressive success finding new funding for sand on the beach. The town of Oak Island is going to be the recipient of about $15 million in money from federal and state sources. Some of that comes from FEMA, which was emergency funding from Hurricane Matthew, and the current government says they started working on that funding when they knew a storm was on the way, before Hurricane Matthew even got here. Do you agree with the town's current direction with shoreline preservation, that strategy? Why or why not?
Well, let me first of all compliment town council and the mayor for their efforts. I think certainly as we anticipate this funding, we can make some progress. They deserve credit for lobbying effectively. But I do think that the direction is yet to be set. My direction would be this, that I support the Ravello report, which I know you've mentioned before in your reporting. I support the Carter report. I support an engineered beach. I support the longest-term, highest-value beach renourishment plan.
So having a recreational beach is not sufficient. You don't want to stop there.
I think it is highly risky. We're talking about a multi-million-dollar investment, and we're talking about return on value. And I would say that distinguishes me from the other candidates in the field who either oppose beach renourishment or want to go part of the way, assuming that someone else is going to pay for it. And I think the issue is this. While we have made some progress, and certainly FEMA has propelled us forward, the issue here is long-term beach preservation, returning value to the taxpayer, and providing for the 8,000 new residents that are projected over the next 10 years. I am the only candidate promoting an engineered beach. I stand by that. All of the experts who have appeared before council, Ravello, Carter, Moffitt, and Nichols, have recommended that solution. So yes, there's some progress, and I compliment town council. But in terms of setting a direction for the future, no, I don't think we're there. I think there's work to be done.
What would the funding formula be for that?
Well, there are several options which have been presented. If you look at Ravello, Ravello proposed taxation based on proximity to the beach, a general tax, and then proximity by zone. The Carter Financial Group augmented that by saying, well, we could have that sort of a taxation plan, but also, if possible, by collateralizing the assets of the island, we could have special obligation bonds, which would defer further. I think the point here and the other critical difference between myself, counsel, and the other candidates, for the most part, I'm going to qualify that, I adamantly oppose the current direction, which is assessments. First of all, I think they're unwieldy. I think they have great potential to entangle us in litigation. And perhaps most importantly, they're not tax deductible. So I think that's the wrong way to go. It's contrary to the advice of our financial consultant. And it seems to me if we're going to commission these reports, we should give them due diligence, and hopefully one would think we'd adopt them.
Are you concerned at all about pricing people out of being able to own property on Oak Island?
Absolutely a concern. One of the things that the Rovella report does, you probably know this if you've read it, is it attempts to create, recommends an exception for seniors, those on a fixed income. And I think within the boundary of the law, we ought to be doing that. We ought to be thinking about that.
Lockwood Folly Inlet, as we know, provides an important outlet between Oak Island and Holden Beach. And historically, of course, it's been difficult for officials to find money to keep this dredged. There is one candidate who says just the dredging of Lockwood Folly Inlet is a waste of money and it just should be ended and let nature take its course. Where do you stand on that issue?
Well, I'm not a naturalist to that degree. I think letting nature take its course is a dangerous proposition. I think it's an inconvenient necessity, frankly. Both our commercial and recreational users depend on it. We're committed by virtue of past practice to an interlocal agreement. The bulk of the funding now comes from the county. Unfortunately, the federal government has withdrawn its commitment. And Holden and Oak Island contribute $28,000 last year for Oak Island. I think my issue with Lockwood Folly dredging is that we need to receive our fair share of the sand, and that's going to involve working with the Corps to get a different dredge in there. But I think long-term, we need to find a more viable solution so that we don't keep spending money draining Lockwood Folly every year. But in the interim, I don't see an alternative, and I certainly would not rely on nature put the sand where we want it to go.
You're listening to the Coastline Candidate Interviews. We're talking with Oak Island Town Council candidate John Bach. You can ask your own question during the live Wednesday edition by emailing us at coastline@whqr.org or by calling 910-343-1138. And we have a couple of people who've called in with questions. Nancy says, 7 years ago, there was a sewer line assessment done by property owners. This cost was $4,200. Some property owners did not pay for this assessment. How do you plan to recoup the funds, she asks.
Well, first of all, it underscores my point about assessments. Let's just start there and why they're not desirable. Again, I give the current administration credit for trying to recoup those assessments. To me, having paid the $4,200 in full, I might add, it's quite frustrating that any number of people were not compelled to meet their legal obligation. And for some time, we had, frankly, a lot of drift on that issue. I think the current administration is serious about collecting not only the assessments, but also the accommodation tax. So again, I give them credit for that. And I think when you receive a public service, you're obligated to pay for it. That's a condition of living on the island.
We have a question from Oscar, who says he's concerned about the ordinance about boats not being anchored in waterways for longer than 30 days. The town said it would not spend money enforcing this, but they are spending money on it. Why do these people, Oscar asks, have to suffer when they cannot pay fees for marina housing? Why not use a nearby moor at a cheaper cost so the town can get the money?
Well, I think there's a broader issue here, Rachel. And I think the topic that's come up repeatedly in the forums that I've attended, and I've attended all of the forums, goes to sort of this nub. If we're going to have ordinances, and indeed we have quite a few of them, and we're in the process of creating a unified development ordinance, a UDO, a kind of compilation of all the ordinances, then we need to enforce our ordinances consistently, fairly, without regard to special exception or interest. And that's been an issue. It's come up repeatedly where people have said we don't enforce our ordinances. And obviously, I think the first thing that we need to do before we approve the UDO is make sure that these are the ordinances that we desire, they have the effect that we want, and that they are enforceable.
What does council need to do to better, speaking of ordinances, to better protect the trees on Oak Island?
Well, you're preaching to the choir here on that one. As you may know, one of the tenets of my campaign has been saving the tree canopy. And we have a situation here, I would call it a clash of virtues. On the one side, we have the storm water management ordinance, which, according to builders, and I believe them, I've talked to a number of builders, has restricted their ability to save trees. On the other side, we have a tree ordinance, which is currently in place, which is minimalist, 5 trees, 1.25 inches. And in effect, what's happened on the island, particularly on my street, I might say, this is a very personal issue for me, is clear cutting. Call it what you will, it essentially is clear cutting. It blots the landscape. So it seems to me we can't change the state requirements for stormwater management. We can change our ordinance, and we can work together, hopefully cooperatively, the owner, because there are property rights involved, the developer, and the town to provide for a stronger tree canopy preservation, and we can incentivize replanting. It can be done. And I'll give you an example. There are 4 lots on my street that have recently been developed. There is one that has saved 27 trees, and there's a beautiful house going up there. The others have the minimum requirement of 5, and they're essentially clear cut. That's the difference. I'm prepared to fight for a tree canopy ordinance that is sensible and that people can support across the board.
This is an issue that the city of Southport has grappled with for years, mm-hmm. in terms of being able to actually write something that is enforceable and that is reasonable and that accomplishes the end of allowing responsible growth and preserving some of these spectacular live oaks. Do you know what that ordinance needs to look like?
Well, I know what the ordinance needs to look like in terms of the concept. To be fair, my understanding is that Southport created an ordinance, but it's met with opposition and met with some technical questions, and I know they had an arborist involved. Oak Island was down that same path earlier. This is complicated stuff. My point is, rather than give up, or to say, as some folks have said, hey, there's no clear cutting, everything is fine, we need to go back and revisit it. And I have no illusions. This is going to be very difficult. It's going to require consensus building. It's going to require bringing people to the table. And frankly, I think that's what we need to do if we're going to save our tree canopy on the island. And we're not yet talking in this conversation about the 7,000 acres on the mainland, which are going to be developed, which is the long-term strategic planning issue, which you know is also one of my campaign tenants.
Well, go ahead and tell us about that. Where would you like to see that go?
Well, I think the issue is that we need to be proactive, not reactive. We need a plan, a strategic plan, which is accessible to the public. They understand the direction the town's taking. What that does is it saves money. It returns value in the long run. So it focuses your energy. It sets priorities. It directs resources. It confirms strategies. I mean, there are a lot of benefits to having a strategic plan. And obviously, it would be built on the basis of the land use plan, which I served on that committee, and on the UDO. But it needs to be a document that is synthesized and is simple enough that we can present it to the public and they can endorse it. Otherwise, what you have is drift. You have special pleading, you have one-off exceptions, and it becomes very difficult to create the kind of community I think that we want. If you look at the land use survey, and my wife and I conducted a number of those, probably 500 of those, people are very consistent in what they want. They want the beach to be preserved. They want growth to be managed. They don't want to be overwhelmed. They don't want high-rise development. They want to preserve the tree canopy. I mean, it's very clear what the public wants, but we don't have a plan to deliver that.
So how would you approach, for example, growth? I mean, we've talked about the fact that explosive growth is a factor in Brunswick County. Mm-hmm. How do you preserve, Alan asks specifically, how would you preserve that balance future growth with maintaining the small town feel?
Sure. And that is the prime reason, the driver to have a strategic plan, I might add. I think that you have to have in place a concept of what you want. You can't have policy without a vision. So I agree, preserving the small town values, the environment, the aesthetic of the community, the friendliness, et cetera, is going to take a plan, and it's going to take a zoning plan, specifically in terms of land use, that is consistently applied.
And that's our time, John Bach. Yes, it flies. Thank you so much for being with us
today.
Thank
you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Thanks also to Kevin Lindsay and Chris Hald. Coastline's technical director is Ken Campbell. Associate producer is Rachel Keith. Production assistant is Caitlin Hanrahan. Caroline DeVries is our webmaster. If you missed part of this episode, look for it at whqr.org, get the podcast, or find it on the WHQR app. Tune in for the rebroadcast of this episode Sunday afternoon at 3. Join us for Coastline Live Wednesdays and Thursdays at noon here on HQR News 91.3 and 98.9 FM. I'm Rachel Lewis-Hilburn for Coastline.